The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Homeowners, why throw away hundreds of dollars every month to the electric company when you can save thousands of dollars over time with a solar energy system? Green Solar Technologies is proud to be a platinum installer for Solar World, the country's top-selling manufacturer of American-made solar panels. Call 800-519-2170 for a free estimate and take advantage of tax credits, grants, and rebates which won't last forever. Stop paying high energy bills and start saving money by calling 800-519-2170. 800-519-2170.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Yesterday, I saw something interesting that was posted online, and I want to share it with you. Laura and I met in preschool. One of my first memories is of being 3 years old and standing up in front of my preschool class, declaring that I would marry her someday. As kids, Laura taught me how to ride the swings, draw rolling hills the right way, to properly eat string cheese. We have fond memories of playing hide-and-seek, chasing each other on the playground, and mischievously staying up during nap time. Eventually, we lost touch upon entering elementary school. For the next 7 years, our family's annual Christmas cards was the only way we'd ever see each other. It wasn't until high school that we reconnected by happenstance through a mutual friend. Within 2 weeks, we decided to be boyfriend and girlfriend. We continued to date through high school, even though we went to different schools. We even stuck together long distance while attending colleges in different states. We remained a resilient couple until May 23rd, when I decided to stay true to my preschool pledge and make Laura my wife. I proposed to her at the place it all began, at our preschool. This was a story I saw online, complete with pictures and that. And it was just a really nice story on a really crappy day.
Really crappy. It sounds very heartwarming.
It really was. I'm gonna tweet some pictures out, or a link to the story. You can see the different pictures. So they meet in preschool.
Uh-huh.
And he says he's gonna marry her someday, and they have all these pictures of them playing together. And then they reconnect in high school, and then recently they posted the story how they got married. They did. They just got married, but they included the pictures of him proposing, or what it was, and it was back at the preschool. That was a year or two, whatever, when he proposed. But what a nice story.
That's true love.
You seem to have a little...
What?
You seem to be a little skeptical of the story here, like you got a problem with it.
So these two were in preschool together.
Right. It's just a nice story.
And then he, you know, she was his preschool girlfriend.
Do I have to start off yelling about Trump? Is that what I have to do? Or calling Nancy Pelosi a washed up old hag? I
mean,
is
that adults? No, what I'm saying, it's a beautiful story.
I don't think you're giving this its due.
I'm trying to.
You seem to be a little cynical here.
Maybe I'm a little jaded.
She thought it was a nice story.
I'm thinking they'll probably be divorced in a year.
She said, wow. She said they thought, after all of this, they're going to be divorced. He didn't realize yet.
You know, he's probably going to, they're going to get pregnant. He's not going to be happy. She's fat. He's going to go find a side
piece. Try to do something a little bit nice here. She said she thought when he proposed, they were just going to go on a picnic date. And he proposed. He said the whole car.
I hope they have true love.
He said the whole car ride to the preschool. He said, I kept checking my pocket to make. When she wasn't looking, to make sure the ring was still there.
Oh,
you know, you're like, okay, I didn't lose it. Okay, good. I'm gonna have to do this or whatever. But yeah, the look in your face is like, wow. Okay,
I think I've become
so they're
too
married.
Cynical.
Kirk, this is a nice story, right? I mean, you felt
it's a great story.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you can't go by Kirk standards.
Why not?
Because I think Kirk has shown a history of, you know.
You're saying he's not jaded yet, like you. He's not old and jaded.
Probably. But he's also, you know, young and on the prowl.
Right.
I'm not married. Is that why I don't understand it?
You don't know.
Your story isn't like that?
You don't know what happens. It always starts like this. Do I really have to tell you?
I am deeply in love with my wife.
So am I.
I love my wife, and I think this is
nice. I do, too.
And I feel this way about my wife, although we didn't meet in preschool.
I do as well.
Is your story like this?
But sometimes.
It can be frustrating. Most of my frustrations that center around my wife have little to do directly with my wife.
Explain, please. How's that? Or is it just like with the female race in general?
Okay. No, I mean, it would be like my wife is great.
What?
Like the effing dog.
That's the crux of your issues is mom, the effing dog?
Mom-in-law and, you know, the extenuating stuff.
And everything that comes with that?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So, like, she and I head down to the store or, you know, and go out to dinner or walk around the block or something. Everything's great.
As soon as the effing dog...
If the effing dog has to come with us, it's going to be trouble, right?
And the mother-in-law, that's where things start to get complicated.
I don't know if this girl has a dog or not.
I'm sure she has a mom.
Wow.
Okay. Sure, he has a mother-in-law.
Well, I'm sorry to try to bring, you know, just a nice little heartwarming story to everybody.
It's beautiful, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Don't give me that now. I can see the look in your face. You're poo-pooing the whole thing.
Listen,
right off, you're
poo-pooing.
You got to
realize, again.
You are a poo-pooer.
I've got a very pregnant wife at home. I'm not sleeping
right
much.
You should feel even like more
a very pregnant,
you know,
emotional wife. I don't even want to tell you what last night's.
You should be even more, you know, heartened because of this.
I think, you know what?
You're not heartened. Get heartened, damn it.
I want to say 90% of my issues in my marriage are also related to the in-laws. So there's some way we could remove them. Remove in-laws. Like, how do you cut that tie? That's not possible, right?
Mm. Now, would she say the same thing about your parents?
No, she loves my parents. She absolutely loves my, she loves my parents more than her. Like, her and my mom, she's like, I love your mom. She can't stand her own mother. And I can't either, but.
Yeah, see, my parents were never like this. I mean, first of all, my dad's dead, so we don't have to worry about that. But my mom has always been so worried about being the mother-in-law that's a problem.
That she's like.
That she doesn't say anything. It's like, you know, okay, all right. I mean, she just avoids.
I don't think that's possible.
What's that?
Because every mother has to chime in.
No,
she's,
and even when she does, she's,
really?
Yeah, seriously, she is.
Again, my mom's actually really cool, and they get along, but my mom can't, when she sees something that she's not crazy about, she's going to talk about it, even though it's annoying. And
my mom avoids, and if she does, it's always like, hey, if I can help, but if you don't want to know, that's fine, you know, okay, cool. I mean, it's just real, I'll do my thing, it's
my mom's the opposite, funny. She'll, like, hit that button over and over and over again. Until,
just keep going.
Yeah,
just
about
keep
this going. Thing that's like, you know, when I did it, you know, it was like this, and when I, you should do this and this, but I'm, you know, I'm, and then if, I was like, okay, mom, okay, and we don't take her advice, you know, about something, she gets like hurt sometimes, her feelings get hurt.
Oh, no. Yeah, and my mom doesn't play the passive aggressive, like, let's say, let's say this is not the case or has anything to do with it, but let's say there's something she thought you should do, like child rearing, like, okay, the kid should be off the bottle or out of diapers or whatever it is. You're not doing that fast enough.
Right.
Some people would say something like, hey, you know, I got some sippy cups in there. You know, like get them off the bottle type of thing. My mom doesn't play that game.
He should be off the bottle by now, you know.
Yeah, if she does want to say something, she says it, but she just avoids the thing. So. Anyway, it's a shame, Cal, that you can't be more heartened by stories like this, that you're that jaded.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. It's okay.
I'll be like in
try
like
something a little different there and move on.
I'm only about 5 years into it.
Okay. All right. I just I'm ready to move on now. I'll give you something. You know, like cops at a mall and in a store. Cops at a says a mall store employee is recovering after a woman bit her while she was attempting to steal a stripper pole.
See, that's more like it. That's
what you want.
That's what I want.
That's what you want.
She was attempting to buy a stripper pole.
Yeah, Spencer's Gifts employee in Little Rock. They still have
they
Spencer's.
Still have,
that's
what's ask
like
that.
Wow.
Like, there's not enough, you know, sex novelty items and stupid.
Here's fart spray.
Yeah.
Here's a shirt with somebody flipping you off. Here's a mug that says Drunken State University. Here's
a lava lamp.
Here's massagers that look strangely like marital aids. Right. Right. That's Spencer's gift. Did I just name 40% of their
Here's
products
fake
right there?
Poop.
what other gifts do they have at Spencer's gift?
Here's a poster of Charles in Charge from 1990.
That's it. You got those. Kirk, they still have the Spencer's Gifts.
I can't believe they still. I mean, that was around.
Did you go when you were in high school?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The mall. Or
I can't believe it has managed to surpass.
Seriously.
What is their business model? It's just, it's 15-year-old boys, right? That's it?
Basically. Here's a FBI shirt, female body inspector.
It's all the stuff that your parents would never let you have.
Right.
Like no, don't have, you can't have that.
You know that one.
I know. That's what's so funny because it's legit. And I imagine that never goes out of style.
No, I guess you've always got immature guys coming out of college, going in or coming out of college. I think that's their demographic.
Or going in and out of their marriages.
Yeah, or getting out of their marriage, exactly.
But yeah, I never realized it. But you're right. All of that crap's going to be around forever.
Yeah.
It's just generational. For some guys that grow up and are like, oh, okay, that's not for me anymore, you got a whole new crop coming in.
There's always someone turning 15.
Actually, it's an amazing business model. Good for you. I don't know if brick and mortar still works, but good for you. So yeah, Spencer's Gift. So,
They sell stripper poles, apparently?
Yeah, apparently one of the new ones.
All right.
Yeah, one of their new items. Spencer, newer.
Uh-huh.
Probably been around for 20 years. Spencer's Gifts employee in Little Rock says the suspect came in, tried to return an item for cash or store credit. She recognized the woman because she suspected this woman of previously trying to steal from the store. The woman decided that she would rather take credit, specifically an item, a stripper pole, in place of store credit. But there was a problem. She didn't have enough money for the thing she was returning to get said stripper pole.
So she was returning something, and that total was not enough for the stripper pole, so there's a difference
yes.
she had to pay.
Right. The woman became agitated and frustrated and decided she was just going to take stripper pole anyways.
Damn
I'm
it.
Just leaving.
I need this stripper pole.
You don't understand.
I don't care that I owe you another $12.39. I need this stripper pole.
So the employee chased her into the common area of the mall and then wrestled the pole from her. She
That's
then,
a dedicated employee, because that wouldn't have even bothered.
Would have just been like, security, yeah. Some lady made off with a stripper pole. Next.
Don't run away.
I did my due diligence, right? I told him that you walked out with the stripper pole.
I got to stock this fake poop shelf. Come on.
Got to get that stuff back
I gotta
up
I got to get
there.
Done.
She then wrestled the pole, and during the wrestling match, the suspect bit her on the upper arm. Then the woman fled. Mall security was contacted. They were unsuccessful at locating her. The suspect is described as a black woman, approximately 5'3", 120 pounds, long curly black hair and brown eyes, and acute at stripping.
You think?
Yeah, exactly. So
she had to practice at home for the day job.
Wow. So anyway, that's pretty wild, huh?
That's more my type of... I mean, the other one was heartfelt and nice, but...
Okay.
Stolen stripper pole biting.
All right. At least I know. Let me put that on the list. Check off what works and what doesn't work for Cal so I know moving forward. Good. Good.
I'm glad you
for
know.
You. Now, which one of those would your wife have liked?
The first one, probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
My wife?
The stripper pole.
She would like the stripper pole.
And that's why you get along with your wife?
She's a news anchor. That's the type she would have sent me in. What the hell? Seriously?
Did you
see this? Those are the ones she sends me.
She would have been like, Spencer's is still open?
That's it. We'll write down the whole process. Yeah. Relief Factors, an all-natural anti-inflammatory, helping thousands of Blaze audience members and many Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain. It works, folks. That's the bottom line. You got pain? You got pain from things that you do at work, certain activities that you know the rest of your family thinks is fun but just causes you chronic pain?
When I was the past week when my wife was in the hospital,
yep.
You know, they have the delivery bed, and they have what they call the dad couch, which
yeah.
is just like
really
a
comfortable
hard bench.
It's like a slab
with
of stone.
With like an inch of foam on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I slept on that for a week, and needless to say, that wasn't comfortable, but I had my Relief Factor, so I didn't have the pain. I thought I was going to wake up with this horrible neck pain, but I was fine. I think it's because I had the Relief Factor.
Yeah, you deal with the pain by dealing with the inflammation, because that's what causes most of the pain in the body, and you can start today. All you have to do is call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. Just $19.95 for a three-week quick start pack, or you go to relieffactor.com. It's relieffactor.com.
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hey.
Homeowners, why throw away hundreds of dollars every month to the electric company when you can save thousands of dollars over time with a solar energy system? Green Solar Technologies is proud to be a platinum installer for Solar World, the country's top-selling manufacturer of American-made solar panels. Call 800-519-2170 for a free estimate and take advantage of tax credits, grants, and rebates which won't last forever. Stop paying high energy bills and start saving money by calling 800-519-2170. 800-519-2170.
See, I think it was a lot more than that when my oldest son was born. I think it was a lot more than that.
Really? More?
Yeah, so Cal and I were talking off the air briefly about when you have kids now, they offer this now. In the last 15 years, they've offered the service. Cord blood and tissue storage.
They harvest blood from the umbilical cord. And if you want, also they harvest tissue, I believe from the placenta. When the baby's born, and what it is is that they save that because the stem cells in those parts later on can be very useful. God forbid she has some sort of degenerative disease or cancer.
They can use those cells there.
Use those stem cells to heal. Yeah, there's a lot of it's really amazing stuff what they're doing. Yeah, so but it's very pricey. But I don't want to say no. You know, it's like.
It's difficult.
It's a big chunk.
And by the way, you're rolling the dice because it's probably like. Over 99% of the time, you would never use
it. Yeah, you'll never need it. But I'd hate, like, God forbid something happened.
And you're like, oh my gosh, I would have done it.
You know?
Right. You're buying a lottery ticket or an insurance policy. It's gambling, which is fine. I mean, that's, you know, it's good that you're thinking that way. When my oldest son was born, it was really pricey. Now that price has come down.
I mean,
is it, $2,500 up front?
Like, right. The salvaging of the tissue and blood is about $2,500. And then they charge a storage fee, yearly storage fee of $300 a year, which actually just went up because with my daughter, we did it with my daughter.
First daughter.
Yeah, it was, I believe it was somewhere around $2,800 or $2,900 up front, mm-hmm. and then $250 a year. So they came down in the salvage price or the initial whatever.
I think this is valuable. The amount of money they're charging is a bit of a scam.
You think so?
Yeah.
And it's not like I actually negotiate. I got priced.
Really?
The upfront down, I got.
Really?
They wanted like 27 and change, and I was like, can you do 2,500? At least, can you come down? And they're like, all right, just because you've been with us before, and I've got a little wiggle
room.
Good for
you.
The guy did it. But he wouldn't come down on the storage. I was like, what about the storage? Can we do something about that? Because I was like, can I get a two-for-one deal here? I'm paying with you for my first kid. What about the second kid? Give me a deal here. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed.
Do you have the end storage unit, the one that gets damaged first in case of a fire or something?
The storage unit with a big pole in it that takes up a lot of space.
Just a small kid, you know. I'll take the basement level storage, whatever it is.
At the same time, like, I'm putting a lot of faith in them that they're going to keep this and for the basically the entirety of my daughter's life, you know.
If I paid this and believed this and then something happens to them where they needed it and it wasn't available, because here's what would happen. The doctor would be telling them about this horrible disease they have, and they're like, the good news is we have the stem cells, and that's good. And they're like, about that, I would lose my mind because you're like, right then, you're like, oh, thank God we did. Don't have it? Well, I would lose my mind.
See, it was next to the fridge where the vending machine was, and Bob accidentally knocked it over.
He had a large lunch and needed the extra storage burrito.
They'll give me my daughter's stem cells if I need it.
Yeah, there's a lease of faith.
Here you go. You know?
I imagine that's fairly secure.
But here's
the scam about it. Okay, so they harvest them.
Mm-hmm. That's the word I was looking for. What's, I said salvage. I meant harvest.
Yeah, that's okay. So $3,000 to harvest? What do you? Don't you just cut that thing off the umbilical cord and...
I would think
maybe it's some special carrots. How long does that take?
I mean, the doctor does it after the baby's delivered.
Yeah.
It's right then and there. They take it.
So you don't throw it in the bin of stuff you're throwing out. You throw it in the bin of stuff you're keeping. I mean, I don't.
They put it in some sort of special, you know.
Solution or.
Packaging and then send it off.
Okay. You freeze it. It Seems like you just toss that thing, label it. It doesn't seem like $3,000 worth of activity.
Right.
I'm sure you hire someone. It's okay.
I agree.
And then the storage.
I'm sure if they offered me, you could do it yourself for like, and only give us like $150, I'd do it.
Oh, I'll keep it. I'll snip, I'll buy a freezer.
Just tell me where I'll snip it. And that's right. I'll cut off what I
need. Oh, yeah, harvest. I'll do that. Absolutely.
I'll harvest myself.
Dang straight it is. In fact, I would go
can
to Cal and
in
I'd
my
go.
Freezer? Can I just do it myself? Can I put it
Cal,
in the freezer?
Cal, you know, I'll harvest it for you for like $20. I'll come in. I'll drive over to the hospital.
On that option.
You pay for the gas on the way over to the hospital. I'm good to go. And then, yeah, storage it.
See, you know what? Seriously, what's keeping me from... it's my child. So that technically, that tissue is my property, right?
From yeah, there's probably a law about...
Taking, like, you know...
Tissue like that being dangerous or something. I don't
if
know.
If I say, have I to want that, don't dispose of it. I want it. And I took it and put it in a freezer of some sort for ever... Mm-hmm. Sure, I could do it myself.
They didn't give me the option when I had my appendix out. I wish I would have had that thing in a jar.
Keep
you see in movies and stuff, people's like, here, I had this out. I'd like to see that.
Because it's your property, your body. I mean, I'm, as her guardian, I would have the rights over that. So I don't know why I can't just put it in a freezer myself.
I don't know.
And then this is sort of special.
And how big
is
it?
This is a scam.
How big is it? The size of a like a pen?
I don't know. I mean, what exactly.
Like a chapstick
I
or something, right?
It. They just took it and sent it off to this.
It's going
to
be like the size of a chapstick.
How much? Blood registry.
That's $300 worth of storage? That seems like a scam. I have a freezer that I bought for $150 in my garage.
Put it in a Ziploc bag, throw it in your freezer.
Right. I can still put everything else. There's no space
to
that.
I got to look into this.
Okay, so you need a backup generator if I would say a couple $100?
Yeah.
You know.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hashtag what I learned today. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at The Blaze Brad, at Cal79, and at Real Chris Cruz. Again, hashtag what I learned today. Joining us now, Mark and Sonia, authors of I Just Want to See Trees, A Journey Through PTSD. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you doing today?
Doing real well. This is an important topic for us. First of all, we do a lot to try to help out veterans any way we can. And one of our crew here, Chris Cruz, is a veteran who has experienced some of those effects.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not fun.
Oh, no, it's not fun. I was telling them actually on the phone when I was calling them. It's like I suffered. The first case was a mild PTSD, but then the second one when I got diagnosed after Iraq, it was the worst one because that's when I got the panic attacks and I got all that crazy stuff. But I was telling them that I actually lost one of my coworkers where he killed his family, and then he committed suicide because of the PTSD. He did not know how to handle the whole PTSD situation. So it's really sad.
So, Mark and Sonia, this is particularly troubling because we now have so many cases because we've had such a long war.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's an epidemic. When you have 20-plus people committing suicide, veterans committing suicide, a day. This is an epidemic. We absolutely have a crisis on our hands.
So what's the best way forward? How do we deal with this?
Well, for us, you know, we're heavy into, you know, getting the treatment you need. The first piece is actually recognizing what's happening. You know, oftentimes a lot of people have heard so many different times the terms PTSD, but they haven't really connected with, hey, is that actually what's going on with me or with my spouse? And, you know, oftentimes the terms PTSD is just really overwhelming to think of having something like post-traumatic stress disorder. So,
I imagine it's a pretty broad term, too, that people apply it probably wrongly at times and then the people don't know what it fully entails.
Right.
Yeah. I believe that.
We've got what? The reports are that we have 22 people committing suicide, veterans committing suicide per day, which is incredible. It's just a staggering statistic. But then some of the reports we've seen, it could be as high as 70 based on the way they report. They actually say it can't be reported as assisted or a suicide, a vet committing suicide, if it has anything to do with alcohol, meaning if, you know, if they went out and had just a beer the day before or something in some cases. Yeah. And then there's certain states that don't report, like California and Michigan, which are pretty big states.
Right, right. You know, some of the biggest things to look for is really, you know, isolating, worrying, really feeling on edge the whole time.
Pushing your family away. You certainly go through these periods, these dark periods where you just completely isolating yourself from everybody. You're really not engaging as much with your family, and really and truly, the first people who notice are the people closest to you, and they can't understand what is happening with you.
And the veterans going through this, they don't even understand what's going on with them.
Yep,
correct. They don't understand why they're angry, why they're sad, why they feel guilty. They don't understand these things, and they chalk it up as possibly a sign of weakness or a sign of inadequacy, and that's something that that is very prevalent.
So you've got people, men and women, who are doers. These are strong, independent people who say, "I'm going to join the service. I'm going to defend my country." I mean, it takes a certain personality type of, you know, an independent go-getter. I'm going to do strong. And then they suffer from something that they don't even really know what's going on. And it's not as obvious as saying I've got a physical wound that I know that is. It's just I feel weird and I need help and I should be the strong one taking care of my family.
Absolutely.
Well, and oftentimes, so I'm a psychologist, and oftentimes I have different people rating different traumas. Well, I'm the one who came home, and you know I'm not missing an arm or a leg, or you know nothing bad happened to me. You know, bad happened to them, so I don't deserve to have these feelings. They deserve to have these feelings, but I don't. And so if there isn't a physical injury, oftentimes, people feel like, these emotions are not valid. And so they invalidate it because we tend to rank traumas. And the reality is that a trauma is a trauma. There's no ranking, my trauma was worse than your trauma. And with PTSD, we know that 100 people can witness the exact same event. The very same trauma can happen to 100 people. And every single one of them is going to experience it different. And out of that 100, only about 20 to 25% are going to continue to really have those effects linger and last longer. And so those 20 to 25% will meet criteria for PTSD.
So we've discovered some of the alternative treatments to help people deal with PTSD. You've got service animals, right? You got that's different support animals. There's, what is it, the hyperbaric chambers? But I say at this point, guys, we look into everything. And if a service animal helps one vet, okay, good. Then it helped them. Good. If hyperbaric chambers helps three, let's help whatever helps.
One of the things that, when I went through my treatment was, they offered me the drugs and I was like, no, I don't want to do the drugs, because a lot of friends have had the whole PTSD symptoms and all that stuff. They did the drugs and they were like, oh, I feel numb, even more numb than I was before. So my treatment was real simple. My treatment was talking to a psychiatrist and a counselor 5 times a week. And yeah, it was an hour or to an hour and a half sessions. And one of the weirdest ones was that she will trigger me. She was like, okay, what? And we got it to pinpoint to two different things. It was smell and hear. Of certain things.
Okay.
So she was able to trigger my anxiety attacks by the smell of big red gum. Because during one of the attacks...
Oh, I wish we had known that.
One of the attacks...
That's mean,
such a jerk.
Man.
That is
really?
Completely
wanna,
jerk.
No, wanna, I mean...
I'm here burning my soul.
No, seriously? I mean, so we could tell the staff not to chew big red gum.
No,
I'm sure
no,
that's why you would do
no.
it. You want to trigger the poor guy back to like when he was shot in the taxi. HR is on the line for you, Doc.
And then, so no. She was
Chris,
able to,
check out this new bubble red gum I got. It's really tasty.
She was able to point out to the big red gum because during one of the first stacks that I was chewing red gum. And as soon as the cinnamon hit me, I was back in war like a movie. The second was a helicopter.
The sound
of the helicopter. And that was because the other attack, it was by helicopter. Well, the helicopter saved us with Hellfire, but it was all triggered because the attack was happening and we didn't have backup. And here comes the helicopter saving us. And that's the last thing I remember from that situation.
Wow.
So it's really interesting that just talking like we're doing right now about the situation and literally triggering me every single day worked a lot better than the drugs.
So is that pretty standard that there's trigger things like that?
Yes, absolutely. There's lots of different triggers, and oftentimes we work first on the coping skills. You know, what things really help you feel better in the short term, and then we start working on the triggers. There's different techniques to use. One of the most successful ones is called EMDR. So it's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And literally you take a memory like that, and essentially your brain puts everything into different file folders. So it will pair an experience, and just like he said, you'll have that experience and you'll pair it with different information things like the gum or a certain smell, a certain touch.
So essentially, when your brain smells, in Chris's case, the big red gum, it opens up that file, and right next to it is this experience. It's kind of like that.
Right. And it may be attached to a lot of other experiences. With EMDR, you're able to reprocess those experiences, and you're able to diminish some of those really high-intensity, volatile emotions attached to it.
And what is EMDR again? It's eye movement
desensitization and reprocessing.
How specifically does it work then? What is the eye movement part of it?
Well, so usually you're following somebody's finger and or you're following a light
or tappers. You have like these little handles you hold in each hand and vibrate in each hand, so it just kind of acts as your right and left side of your brain, I guess, and it allows you to go back to that scene, and you're having to go through it in your head and talk about it as you're going through the vibration in each hand, and that's causing. It's a conduit. It allows you to be able to reach inside and let this out.
That's really cool.
The more you do it, the more desensitized you become to that. And you know, there was a time I couldn't even talk about certain things. I honestly could not physically talk about it without just breaking down, because mine was taking care of the sick and the wounded. I was the first line doc. I was the first line medical provider. Patching guys that were my friends. These are guys I deployed with. These are, you know, and so there's a lot of that. And talking about my experiences was very difficult because it brought me back to a place of me feeling very guilty for the ones that I could not save, the unsavable.
Well, not just only guilty, you felt like helpless, like you couldn't do as much as you can. You know, because that's one of my things that I had was like, you know, when, because I lost three friends over there in Iraq and Afghanistan combined, and you know, you're like, oh man, if I could have just done this one thing, if I could have grabbed that other shift so that the other guy would have had a better night's sleep, and you start tracing these stupid thoughts of like, oh, maybe if I would have a better breakfast, what does breakfast have to do with protecting a life?
Yeah.
You start feeling like, oh, what if I would have done this differently? Then what the response was, what could have been different. It's really, really intense and mentally draining.
Mark, was there one or two that stand out in your mind that really bothered you? I mean, I'm sure none of it was pleasant, but was there one or two that you're like, those are the ones that I have difficulty getting over?
The one I always remember is circa 2003, 2004, Ramadi, Iraq, where I was part of a of a medical team that was a first line. We were an FSB, so that means the Ford medical support level one clinic type thing. And so we were taking in the first line casualties, and we had a guy who came in with 80% full thickness burns of his body. He's still still alive. And he's, you know, we're trying to get him, you know, because time is of the essence. You gotta get this guy to start breathing, get this guy to, you know, you have to intubate him a lot of times. A lot of times you just have to kind of get lines in him, fluids. These are the, and this guy is just, we all knew that this guy probably would not make it to Baghdad.
Well, and burns are, it's so graphic and so troubling. So, Mark, thank you so much for serving, and I appreciate both of you guys sharing your story. We'll tweet out a link to the book, and hopefully people will check it out. Anything we can do to help you in the future, let us know, okay?
That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Mark and Sonia, I Just Want to See Trees, A Journey Through PTSD. We'll tweet out the link. This is The Morning Blaze.
You're waking up to The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Yeah! We only have 2 minutes to get it in.
You want
to
make some money?
Let's go. I do want to make money. Let's
go. All right. There's an app called Acorn. Chris actually uses this. We were talking about it the other day. And what this app does, you...
Isn't that a progressive
organization? No. I only got 2 minutes. Come
okay, go ahead. Yes.
It's called Acorn. You connect it with your bank account. Obviously, there's going to be some trust issues here. But
sure.
It rounds off every transaction you make. So if you buy something for $1.50, it takes 50 cents and invests it for you. Then you can set up your investments how you want, whether you're like aggressive investing or you're saving for a house, you're saving for put a kid through college, retirement, whatever it
is. Can you specifically say where it invests?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because you answer questions based on what your goal is, and it invests according to those questions. And then you can change it around however
like
you want.
But I couldn't say I always wanted to buy Pepsi or buy.
No. Okay. It generalizes, but based off of.
Okay.
But then it shows you like 5% is in large cap stocks. 2% is in real estate. 1% is in. It shows you where the breakdown is.
Can you cash out anytime you want?
Yes. You can cash out anytime you want, yeah. And there's a special. It's done by like.
You've done it, right?
I've been doing it.
So how have you been. Have you saved up some
so
money with
far,
it?
So far, I've had $3,000.
Since when?
Because
you told you this a while ago.
2 years.
Over 2 years? Mm-hmm. And it just takes rounds up. And it's not like. Cause that's what I like is that it's not huge. They're not taking like a couple $100 out
of my
account.
They're taking pennies.
They're taking pennies, literally. So if something were to go wrong, it's not like a giant loss. It is now.
You know,
well, yeah.
For him. That's $3,000 down.
By the way, wasn't this the same thing they used in Office Space that went horribly wrong? And this is what they used in Superman 2.
Superman 3,
where it went all horribly wrong as well.
They take just pennies. It's just a penny.
It's just a penny. What's a penny? But you're still stealing, right?
You know, when you go to 7-Eleven, there's a penny. There's a little tray.
Take a penny, leave a penny.
Yeah, it's those
you're just taking a lot of pennies.
Yeah.
I can see this being really cool.
Yeah, I just set it up because he told me he's making money off it, and then I checked it out. This seems cool.
So you guys got money, and I'm feeling guilty for you this whole time.
No, I don't have money. I literally can only invest like a penny
or
two.
He's got money. He's walking around with $3,000.
A penny or two. That's all right. I can afford.
Let's see what's going on here.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
The collision of common sense and comedy. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Kinsey Richards tweeting hashtag what I learned today. Cal and Chris will soon be a proposition to invest 10% into the Doc Thompson Fund via the Acorn app.
That sounds about right.
Proposition makes sound like my fund does not have value.
No.
It'll absolutely have value. It's going to be great. It'll be tremendous. I'm not going to tell you about it now, but at some point, it'll be the best fund ever. That's what I'm working on, just so you know. The best one ever. Get the tweets tremendous. In, hashtag what I learned today. It's at Doc Thompson Show, Real Chris Cruz at Cal79 at the Blaze Brad.
Chris's Cofefe beard, hashtag what I learned today. TMB's new sponsor, Wrigley's Big Red Gum. If you don't chew Big Red, then F you.
Can you smell it now without being triggered?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Of course. I'm asking because I'm trying to be courteous. I don't want to trigger you with this stuff.
That's from Ricky Bobby. Remember the Ballad of
Yeah, what about him?
That's scene. If you don't chew Big Red, then F you.
Yeah, I never saw that movie.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
Everything became the same.
Yeah.
I find him funny,
same
okay?
character over and over. Yeah. Hey, it's National Waffle Iron Day.
National Waffle Day?
National Waffle Iron Day. Big difference. Don't get the two confused.
Really? I'm saying I don't care so much about the iron other than it makes the waffle. Okay. You know, I guess that's important, too.
They got their start in the 14th century in the Low Countries. Don't forget to share it on social media. And it was June 29th, 2007. The tech world was turned upside down. 10 years later, more than 1 billion iPhones have been sold. Happy birthday. 10th birthday today
to the iPhone.
I guess it seems like so much longer.
Hail the iPhone.
Bow down before the all.
Yeah.
I, for one, welcome our new iPhone overlords.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. In breaking news, President Trump says he has a big surprise in store for the health care reform bill.
Okay.
Does anybody want
go ahead. Okay. What's this? Here it is. We have the audio.
Does anybody want to see the Oval Office?
Yeah.
We'll leave them behind. And just to do a little official business, healthcare is working along very well. We could have a big surprise with a great healthcare package. So now they're happy.
What do you mean by big surprise?
Did he say they could have a big surprise?
You cut him off there.
Okay, we could have a big surprise.
He made the comment when talking to the press yesterday as he hosted the World Champion Chicago Cubs at the White House.
I don't recognize that win, but anyways.
Yeah. Be afraid.
We could have. First of all, if he had said we're going to have a big surprise, Trump says a lot of stuff like that. This is what I can't believe this is a headline. Yeah. The media is actually like, Trump said there could be a big surprise back and forth. You are the very people who know that the guy just says stuff like this, yet you're the ones talking about it. There's nothing here.
It's probably not the kind of surprise you'd want under your tree.
No.
I don't think. Speaking of the president, Covfefe has now been joined the list of banned license plates in Georgia.
Why?
Along with Hot Body, 2SXC for you, or Too Sexy for You, but B-U-T-T. KKK and pervert and others. You can no longer.
Is that all one plate?
That's
I'm the butt KKK pervert. You gotta understand. I got real specific fetishes.
You cannot have Covfefe on your license plate.
Why?
I have no idea. Okay. If you're gonna have license plates, let people put whatever the hell they want on it or not. Because how can you? Well, we've determined those are offensive. Really, butt's offensive. But somebody else putting red Kia on their red Kia. Uh-huh. Wait, that could be considered offensive.
On that list, I didn't hear anything actually offensive. What if someone put like "fu" on their license?
Well, those have been banned already.
These
are the new added new to the list.
I had a friend that had a license plate that said "Groids," GROIDS. Get rid of inadequate suckers.
Oh. See, okay, that's the other thing. You don't know what all this means, and you got these blue-haired old ladies that are sitting around trying to decipher what this means. It's like, knock it off. Either let people put what they want or not. And by the way, even if you don't let them put it on their license plate, they can just get a bumper sticker saying the same damn thing. But this is the stupidest pursuit ever, that we hire people at the state level to determine, that may be offensive or not.
Yeah.
Put it on. And why, even in the world of things that could be offensive, would Covfefe be offensive?
Because you associate it with President Trump.
I can't put Trump on my plate?
I'll bet you can't.
I'll bet you could. You couldn't
put I love Trump.
You could put any of that stuff.
I'll bet it's already taken, but they didn't ban it.
Is Covfefe anti-Trump or pro-Trump, by the way?
Good question.
It could be either one.
Chris says pro-Trump.
Well, some people use it to make fun of him. Some wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Wow, that's Georgia.
You're trying to make sense out of
They have covfefed this entire thing up.
Uh-huh. And that's why you can't use it. All right, so imagine you're sitting on a plane waiting to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly the engine spits a little fire and boom, stops. They get everybody off the plane.
Okay, that's troubling.
Yeah, an 80-year-old woman decided as she was getting on the plane to throw some coins into the engine for good luck.
Into the turbine?
How did she get Shanghai International Airport.
Well, sometimes they have you walk to the plane.
Yeah, you walk up those steps and you're 10 feet from it. You toss a few coins.
So she chucks the coins in there?
A handful of quarters.
Why?
Good luck.
It's not a fountain.
It's like throwing money into a fountain, apparently, for her. She's 80 years old. She's not sure if it's Tuesday or chocolate.
I know you throw coins somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw them everywhere.
She's lucky they didn't come flying back at her as a bullet.
And yeah, by the way, that's going to mess up the turbine a little bit there.
I wonder if they're going to make her pay for that.
Probably.
Those things are not what you call cheap.
Cheap.
No.
Those things be expensive.
What a knucklehead. We'll tweet out the story. Take a look at when you see the picture of the guys surrounding the engine. They've got the flaps up. It's not pretty.
We found the problem. Yeah. It's a quarter.
A buck and a half, I think, is what it ended up being.
On the other hand, I didn't know they were that sensitive. I mean, I'm sure little things get into the engine.
Birds at times.
Yeah. I mean, I know birds take them down, but that's pretty large. I'm thinking a quarter, really? Well, that's also metal, though, too.
It starts rattling around in there.
You can grind up a bird pretty easy. You can't grind up a quarter so well.
I don't think it would go through, but
you'd think it would. You wouldn't want to be on the other side of that thing and spit it out.
No.
Score one for the Washington Redskins. They can keep their name.
Oh, nice.
Justice Department dropped the lawsuit against them. As you know, the Obama administration sought to revoke their trademark because it was an insult to Indians.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily want you, right?
I just wanted it. I thought you wanted me to ring it.
It happened because of another case, an Asian American music band. It's Mattel versus Tam. They wanted to name the band The Slants.
Yeah, and they are Asian.
And the leader, they actually did win the right to name it that at the Supreme Court, which is why.
It's much like the license plates. If you don't like it, move on. Don't buy their records. Don't go to the ball games, whatever. Everybody else, shut up.
Yep.
Because half the stuff you're doing, I find offensive as well.
Yep.
Let's just go about our own business.
Yep, exactly.
Mind your own business.
Now,
if the Slants want to be the Slants, let them be the Slants.
Let them be the Slants.
There was a story early on in the days of email and whatnot that somebody tried to sign up their name. Their last name was something. It was like Janet Cox or something like this. COX, much like the company.
Yeah.
Broadcast company.
Right. Cox.
And tried to sign it up. And her IT had all the triggers up there, much like the license plate, saying that could be offensive. So she was not allowed to use her name. So she signed up Janet Penis. And it was legit. And it was like, we are overthinking this.
Yes. Big time.
Wow.
Yes.
Some people get that by accident.
You know? Yeah.
Never. We had this guy. I used to work at a company who this guy's name was Alex Nalbandian. And his email was Analbandian.
Oh, because Alex Nalbandian.
Everybody just called him Analbandian. What's up, Analbandian? He's like, shut up.
And that was the part. Can we go to A dot? Can we have like a period between the first letter and the whatever? Yeah, that's.
Paging Mr. Jablomi?
Yeah, exactly. Stop with the stuff. And by the way, if you have some of these last names, even if they're a family name from 100 years ago, change your name. We've moved on.
Now, for those of you watching us on Facebook Live right now, here's an interesting little story. CNN's Facebook Live, they invoked Elmo and he apparently took a trip to Syria.
Yes. What was it like?
It was really wonderful. Oh, Elmo and Miss Shelley went to Jordan together.
We did.
And it was really wonderful because Elmo got to meet a lot of new friends.
A lot of new friends? And did you find that the Syrian little girls and little boys were a lot like your friends here in America?
Yeah, they really were. It was very interesting because they like to play and learn,
right?
Just like Elmo and all of his friends at Sesame Street.
Okay, that's just odd to me because what did that look like as he's visiting the camp? Was it the guy with Elmo on his hand walking through? And are these kids going, what is this guy?
Their life's bad enough, and now they see Elmo has been disemboweled with a guy's hand, right?
It's like,
how you doing, kids? Here's Elmo. Look at this. I got my hand in him.
That's just
Well, and by the way, I got to call BS on this, and I'm calling BS on The Blaze about this, too. Mm. The headline at The Blaze is something like CNN uses...
Cross the line
using Elmo to... In fact, let me pull it. Basically promote...
CNN sinks to a new low by using this beloved childhood icon to further inflammatory immigration agenda.
Because he's talking about Syrian refugees. When I see that, further inflame immigration agenda, to me, that says... Elmo was going, we shouldn't build the wall, kids. Right. Yeah. Donald Trump's a moron. Yeah. We got to let people stay. Amnesty. That's
no
what I'm thinking.
Man.
Yes.
Guess what? If Elmo is going there to help these poor refugee kids deal with the fact that they're living in squalor and don't. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got no issue with that. And by the way, it's also private. Do whatever the hell you want. I'm calling foul. The Blaze should take that one down.
Police have had to advise Calgarians. Those are people who live in Canada.
I would think maybe Calgary.
Like a clan of like exactly. The Calgarians.
The Calgarians are here. They're coming over the hills.
They had to tell them not to take selfies with a moose that was on the loose. Seems like that would be self-evident and pretty commonsensical.
Plus, I would think it's pretty common in Calgary anyways. Well, it's like, there's a moose.
Yeah, well, but you see a moose. Have you ever seen a moose in person?
They are gargantuan. No. It's like the size of a house.
They are huge.
Yeah.
And people were actually stopping and trying to take a selfie
are they
with
aggressive?
The moose. Yeah, I've never been close enough to find out, but I'm telling they are twice the size of a horse. They're wow. I mean, they stand 15 feet tall with a rack. They're huge.
Do you know how much their horns weigh?
Yeah.
And they can carry those things around?
That's big animals.
Yeah, they're fun. All right, one more. Give me one more.
Cardinal in charge of the Vatican's finances. He's been charged with multiple sexual offenses by Australian police. That's a...
Wow, that's troubling.
Yeah.
That's a, what are the basic details? This is from years ago?
Yep, multiple charges of historical sexual assault offenses. That's the Australian criminal justice system's term for offenses committed in the past. They can't just say offenses committed in the past. They have to call it historical sexual assault offenses.
By the way, I think we have the some audio, and it goes something like this. Hey, kids! Boys and girls, I need to play with you!
Syria!
Boy, the boys and girls need some help!
Oh, man, you're not going straight to hell.
Wow, that's troubling. I mean, here's the problem. This cardinal, the way I understand it,
mm-hmm.
was behind some of the cover-ups in the past, or that's the criticism anyways?
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to be a problem. His offenses now that they're claiming from years ago could be legit, or maybe it's not. But automatically, we now condemn anyone who's claimed this because it was legit in the past.
Right.
We don't know if he's guilty or not, but automatically it's being assumed.
In this society, and some of it's, you're guilty until proven innocent.
And some of it, I can understand why, because the Vatican was so wrong in this stuff. So, mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
That was my mistake to ask for another one today.
You want to end on a happier one?
Okay, one more.
All right.
We can go one more.
Breatharian mom and dad of two. They've barely eaten for 9 years. They live off the universe's energy. Yeah, you have Calgarians and Breatharians. They believe all you need is air.
Okay, okay.
See?
All right, you know what?
That's
tell
a
you what.
One.
Come stay at my house for a month. We'll see if you're really Breatharians. Is that it? Because trust me, somebody's slipping you a Snicker bar somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You're not living off of air.
No.
I'm not buying it.
Me either.
You know, I'm calling BS. You come live at my house and we'll see. I'm going to get your jaw wired shut. I'm going to super glue your lips. We're going to lock you in a vault. We'll see. Go ahead. No, there's plenty of air in here. We got ventilation. Sure.
She says she didn't eat for 9 months during her entire pregnancy. That was one pissed off moment.
Flag of the play. Sorry. All right, I'm calling foul. Let's challenge them. Hey, Earthwater is all about changing and improving people's lives by offering 100% natural beverages that can put the much-needed micronutrients missing back in your diet. With over 70 trace minerals, this water is a must-have. I love it. Chris loves it. It's first of all, the line includes their black water, which is just water, but it looks black, so it's real fun around the office and at home and that. But it has those trace minerals. Now, they did find a way to remove the molecule responsible for the color, and so you can get the clear version as well. Some of those are flavored. They're all great, but the big thing is this earth water with those 70 trace minerals that your body needs is going to be really good in things like boosting your energy level, helping rebuild your immune system, reducing your stress level, improving your memory and focus, and doing other things like helping remove the toxins from your body and maintaining healthy skin, nails, and hair. Who doesn't need that? Listen, you got to drink water anyways. Why not drink water that's also providing those trace minerals that you're probably missing other places in your life? What have we replaced them with? A bunch of things you can't produce on the back of a package. right? I mean, you eat that stuff. Oh, it's horrible for you. This is the stuff you need. It's great for you. It's a great product, and you can get it today. Just go to earthwater.com/theblaze. Earthwater.com/theblaze. If you do that and include the promo code theblaze at checkout, you'll get 10% off your order. So it's earthwater.com/theblaze. Remember that so you get that 10% off and use the promo code theblaze.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. We'll be right back on the Blaze Radio Network. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Does anybody here have a personalized license plate, or have you ever had a personalized license plate?
Yeah. I only had one, and I got fired from the radio station after I got it, so I've been allergic to them ever since.
Was it about the radio station? Yeah. Had something to do with it? Yep. It was like Brad.
It just said 103.1 FM.
Really? You like the station that much? You got a plate for him?
I thought it was kind of cool. It was one of my first stations. I was the operations manager.
Okay, wait a minute. And the guy should have learned a lesson. He uses a Twitter account, The Blaze Brad.
Well,
it's going to be great when you get fired from here. You're going to have to start smoking pot. The Blaze Brad. That seems like a failure. You should learn a lesson. What about you?
Yes, I had one.
What did it say?
It was something about the Air Force. Airman something.
What about you?
No, I never had one.
Okay, what about you, Kirk? Kirk, I bet any money in.
No.
Okay.
Of course not, no.
Of course not, yeah. It's of course not. I don't buy that.
He'll punch you in the face. Kirk, he punches in the face people with personalized.
No gays allowed.
It says gay puncher is what it says, probably.
Kirk had no.
But he uses the F word, though.
Yeah, there's got to be in there as well.
Like Kramer.
Yeah, there is no way I am ever having a personalized license plate.
Oh, I'm getting it for you.
If it costs even 1 cent more. Like, my natural plate, if I went in and said, okay, I got to get more plates, and they just grab the next random one up, and it just happens to work out that Doc is an ass is the plate. Ass man Doc, or Doc is whatever. The most disparaging thing about my mom could be on the plate. And if they said, you know, for one penny more, we can get you a different one, I'm like,
nope.
No, sorry. I'm not giving you dirt bags at the state 1 cent more. Why would I give you money to personalize a plate?
Do convicts still make those?
I don't think so.
Still a thing?
Oh, I think they might.
Maybe in some states. I don't think they did in all states anyways. In some states, they did. But if the states really want to make money, here's where I say they go with personalized plates. Stop with just the, hey, you can get certain names. Have whole pictures put on your plate. So now, you know, right now you could pick, oh, I want the one with the lighthouse because we're in Maine, or the one with the manatee because we're in Florida. Do they have a manatee one in Florida? Okay, I just knew. Where you can have your kid's face put on it or anything. Why would, and charge, well, for the technology, it causes, you know, it costs $400 for
it. How would we be able to track it, though? Because how the police officer is going to put it on the computer?
No, you could still have the numbers, but the background of it would be a picture. Just do it. Well, the technology costs $600. You don't think most of these goofs would still do it? Of course they would.
You know that old lady's going to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, then you still have the blue hairs at the state level going, well, that might be an offensive picture.
I'd be curious what the numbers are of people who actually do this.
A lot.
Tons.
Such a waste.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Apparently has done extensive research on what people do in prison. Let me rephrase that. On what jobs, that's not helping matters either. Occupations that they take up while in prison. What chores
things
they do, that's not.
No. Things they do with their hands.
Ooh.
What do I do with my hands in prison? What do I do with my hands? What they get paid for in prison. There's no way to clean this up.
There isn't.
How about this? Times. Do they still make license plates? How about that?
Actually, they make everything from books for the blind.
To fail.
Which, Lingerie.
Wait, what? Yeah. Oh, that's just in-house, though. No, that's in-house use. Yeah. You be Guess what I made for you out of a sheet and some toilet tissue and a spoon.
I got a new nightie.
And by the way, it's fabulous.
They make park benches and picnic tables in Florida.
Wow.
They make military jackets and battle garb.
Okay, good.
They make human silhouette targets.
Okay, that's like on-the-job training.
That's a little strange. They make old IKEA products.
They don't make new ones?
No, apparently this was back in the 70s and 80s. The IKEA hired them to do that.
Wow, IKEA's that old?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Been around, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Long time.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball caps. They still make those.
Make prison great again.
Canoes.
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 Okay.
And some of these canoes sell for $1,500. So
wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd thought trust a canoe made by an inmate.
Why not?
What are they going to do? Sabotage it?
No, but
I'll fix this bastard. I'm going to put a little hole in it. See him get out there on the river.
Sabotage it, but I don't think they would.
They're not making explosives. They're not making pesticides.
Or
like
they might not.
Hear about Bob
100%.
Canoe
okay?
blew up on him one day.
My canoe
Can't
sank
you
in the
see if there's
the
a hole in it? I'm like.
What if it just, you know...
I mean, if you say, listen, I don't know if I trust the vaccines made by prisoners. Something I'm going to inject into my kids, sure, but a canoe.
I'm guessing most of these guys are going to half-ass it, and what if it's not...
I didn't even notice this 4x4-foot hole in the canoe. What's this?
It's like a slight crack when he's on the river.
It's missing a side. I floated or tried to, went right to the bottom.
May not be a giant hole, but still.
That's the canoe.
Wow. Music boxes, drawings, and paintings, blue jeans.
That's really specific, blue jeans.
By the way, I'll bet they could get a fortune for these items if they let people know it was made by prisoners.
Oh, yeah.
So, right, like right now, you may get a company that's going, okay, we'll farm it out to some prisoners. We'll pay them 4 cents an hour. Or the hats will be cheap or whatever.
Yep.
But I'll bet if it was something where you actually put, like, you know, prisoner, whatever, it was, I'll bet you could charge a fortune for it.
Made by a genuine convicted murderer.
Convict?
Yes. I mean,
why would anybody pay extra for that?
Because people are out of their minds with stuff. Why do women start writing prisoners, like people on death row,
well,
and marry them?
Story. That's like a fetish. But I don't see people buying stuff.
Oh, it's not a fetish. They're not going to get out of prison. There's no fetishing. Right.
There's like a weird thing going on there.
Do you know how many women want to marry Charles Manson?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Okay, so take that away. You know how many people are just fascinated by serial killers?
Yeah.
And serial killer cards and stuff?
Me.
You mean to tell me if there was art? First of all, John Wayne Gacy's artwork, the stupid clown stuff.
Yeah.
His artwork sold for gobs of cash.
Yeah.
You put out there like prison art, especially.
Oh, yeah.
You're crushing it.
Well, not just that. They feel like they're helping the prisoner.
Jeffrey Dahmer made my
hat. Other side of that. I would avoid.
It's funny. He made my lunch.
He had a real eye for craftsmanship. Right.
It's the Dahmer Cafe. You'll make a lot of cash on that.
The Jeffrey Dahmer recipe cookbook.
The secret's in the sauce.
That's right.
They make.
Realize that Dahmer and Donner are so close.
See?
Jeffrey Dahmer, Donner Party. Both of them made people.
Do you remember the Donner Party, Cal?
Yes, I do.
Chris?
Nope.
You don't know the reference?
Nope.
Supposedly, they were late getting over the Rocky Mountains there and got stuck up there. And the snows came in, and they didn't have enough food to survive the winter. And at one point, they turned on each other.
It was, and I saw a documentary on it. It wasn't quite as... I mean, they weren't chasing after each other.
With forks.
I'm going to eat you.
Come here.
Was it like the, what about that rugby team who got stranded in the Alps?
And, yeah.
They didn't kill each other. They ate the dead.
Yeah, that's kind of what the Donner Party did.
That's what I'm thinking.
Tastes like chicken.
This conversation
the question comes up. Would you?
Yes.
Would you?
Brad, would you have a little taste?
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
Brad, shut up, you would.
Yeah.
Brad would be on the fence until I was like, Brad, come on, man.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Come on.
It's just a finger.
I've got salt. I've got ketchup. Come on, man.
I guess it would depend on if I knew them.
And what? Hold on.
Doc would come up with like,
I mean,
I made this mango reduction sauce, man. It'll go great.
It is.
Wait a minute. We're going to eat the mangoes?
It's a habanero. Yeah. That's right. Don't eat the mangoes.
Don't eat that. That's for the sauce. But we want that. No.
It's going to go great on the pectoral muscle.
Here, taste Cal's hand.
Here's Sarah's foot. And it's an attractive foot.
Yes.
She's got hot feet.
If it was Sarah's foot. I'd be luckily.
He's like, this is
listening.
So tasty and strangely
I'll
erotic.
Tell you this much, yes. If we were ever stranded and if eating me, my dead ass, would save you guys.
Well,
you
I'm not eating
my,
whoa!
You have my permission. Whoa.
Let's,
here's the thing.
I ask for one request, though, okay?
Uh-huh. If I'm dead, you can eat whatever you want.
But just don't go there.
Leave the twig and berries. Okay. Leave me with some dignity, okay? Any other part, you can eat.
You're telling this crew that? You know what's going first. By the way, so here's how it would play out.
Oh, yeah, calf fries. Or cow fries, as it were.
Here's the scene. So... plane crashes. We're all alive still. Okay. There's some people there that
is
have died. We're starving.
Room?
Yeah, just this room, right? Okay. Sarah, she's died, though. A bunch of people have died. And Chris goes...
The first question from you would be like, what do you think of that flight attendant?
She looks pretty tasty, right?
Right?
That'd be saying, Sarah looks pretty hot, right? She's pretty tasty. So I'd be the one, I'd go to Chris and I'd go, what do you think? And Chris would go, yes, I'm going to survive. Although we might be able to sell this to everybody else for a couple of dollars. We've got the bodies and they're hungry.
Yeah.
So he'd instantly try to make cash off of it. That'd be. But then we'd go to Brad and Brad would go, I don't know, guys, if I could do this. And then we would convince him. This is how the whole thing would play out. We'd go, Brad, come on, man. I got salt. I got ketchup. You're going to start. You just need to go, all right, fine or whatever.
No one needs to know.
Cal, we would stop and say, listen. Cal's not going to go for this.
No, he's not.
He's going to say, I'm not going to eat it.
Yep.
I wouldn't do it. So what we would do then is say, Cal, we found food. No, it's beef jerky.
Try it.
And he would end up eating it because of that. Then.
Wow.
We would go to Kirk and we'd say, Kirk, we got food. And he'd go, where'd you get it? We'd go, Bob died. And he would punch us in the mouth because somehow it would be gay to him.
It would be gay to him. He'd somehow be like a gay innuendo.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's it. Look at it. The whole homophobia. So that's how this whole thing would play out.
And then we'd come back here and never speak of it again.
Until
we got on the radio.
Until we got on the radio and I would go.
Until those mics go live.
Out of the bag.
You'll never guess what we just did this weekend.
I would be like, you know, I'm back at hole 30. It was a rough week. I don't know. Is Sarah hole 30? I haven't seen this out yet. Very rough. That's how the whole thing would play out.
Bob from accounting was tasty. He was always a douche. I didn't think he would taste that good.
I didn't know douchey people had a taste.
So would you eat dog?
If I had to survive, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you willingly, though, if you're over in some foreign country,
choose something else? Oh, yeah. Like, if I have a choice? Yeah. I wouldn't.
Street meat, your
willingly.
Dog. You sit down at a dinner. Like, let's say I was with my in-laws, and it was kind of an insult to turn him down. Would you eat dog?
No, I would not eat dog.
What about cat?
Yes.
No, I would not eat cat.
Which would you eat first?
The dog. The cat. I don't like the cats.
I know, but I would eat the dog first. In my mind, cats smell like litter box when you're eating them. I know it.
Yeah, but
it's a weird disconnect, but I think that's
cats,
what it,
if they're wild cats, how the hell do they get litter box?
No, I know, but in my mind, cats, as you're eating them, have that smell because cats smell funky, you know?
Yeah, they do.
They can smell. Yeah. So I know it's just in my head, but I'd try them. I just said in my mind, I didn't know what they were going to pull on me when I went to visit my wife's relatives. And plus, she was kind of messing with me there
in South Korea.
She's like, you know, if my uncle asks you to have dinner with him, you're going to have to eat whatever. And I was like, son of a gun. So I was like this on the plane ride over. I'm like, okay, set this in your mind. Okay, so here's the thing. Always have a drink immediately as dinner starts off. So I'm always like, sure, I'll have a drink, you know, just to make sure I'm lubed a little bit there. I got the lubrication going, so I'm ready to eat whatever. We did have street meat. I don't know what it was.
What it tastes like.
Which is meat on a stick. I don't know.
Was it
rough? What it tastes like.
This is beef chicken. It was meat.
Tasted like chicken.
Yeah, exactly. So it could
have been identical. My philosophy is always never ask questions.
Oh, yeah.
If it tastes good,
just done.
Eat it.
Street meat.
Don't ask
done.
Questions. And don't look at it. Just eat it.
That's
don't,
it.
Don't examine it.
That's it.
That's what I did with calf fries. Did not know what they were.
And you know
were.
What those are, right? You ever have those, Kirk? Calf fries? Because it's, is
no.
that sheep or?
I believe so, yeah.
Sheep?
Sheep testicles?
Oh, no.
Would you sample?
No, I'm all
okay,
right.
Look, he's they taste swinging good.
I don't mess with no gay sheep, man.
I don't mess with no gay sheep.
They're getting punched
they
in
were
the
good
face,
though?
That's for sure.
They were good?
Yeah, they were good until you find out what they are, and then it's just...
That's a funny
chewy?
Farm with Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase, okay, where
like
he ate
three
plates.
They're like, no one's at. You set the record. No one eats mini testicles anymore. Right.
It what was the texture great. Like? I feel like it'd be chewy.
Yeah, a little bit chewy.
Like meatball texture?
Yeah, no. It was more of a smooth,
squiddy,
chewy.
Kind of like
calamari? Yeah, ish.
Calamari-ish?
Deep fried, yeah.
Like chewy like that?
Yeah,
but smooth
like
texture.
That, yeah.
And was there a coating strange. On them?
Mm-hmm, they were deep fried. You can deep fry
a batter.
You can deep fry a dog turd.
This is
going to
sound kind of nasty, but when you bit into it, was there like liquid?
It was just regular like meat,
yeah,
right?
Yes, it wasn't juicy.
It was cooked.
It was not juicy.
I don't know.
Cooked. Okay, so and then it just had regular deep fry texture and whatnot.
Yep.
Okay. Was there a sauce?
I don't remember if I dipped them in anything or not.
I'd probably need some sort of dipping. So if I'm going to go Rocky Mountain oysters,
but I need to again, dip it in something. Not knowing what they are and popping them in, it was just, that tasty.
What do you mean not knowing? How do you eat something you don't know what it is?
It was at a restaurant.
They call calf fries.
Yeah.
So you didn't ask? You just ordered it? Let me get the calf fries.
No, I didn't order. They were passing them around. They just had a plate full of them, and we're standing there talking.
That was immediately after they passed around the Thai stick, by the way.
Right.
And he's like,
sure. And you didn't ask? Like,
sure, I'll try anything.
I'll never put anything in my mouth without asking what it is.
And on that note,
if I'm unfamiliar,
this is The Morning Blaze.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. The Blaze Radio Network. Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Larky Parkin tweeting, hashtag what I learned today. The prison that Manson is in would make a truckload of cash if they sold lingerie made by him. Right, he would. Sadly, they absolutely would. Cam tweeting, personalized plate while working as scuba instructor in California, 3,000 PSI. And good vis, V-I-Z, viz. Good visibility.
Good visibility.
Is that what it is? Anyway.
Sure.
Chumley tweeting, the tremendous surprise of healthcare is that healthcare is going to be huge and tremendous. And Stephen English says, can't get personalized plate in New Jersey if you've ever had a DWI in your lifetime.
What is that?
Why?
What?
I don't know.
That makes no sense.
It's New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Right.
Cal?
I also don't get the personal or the specialty plates if you got a DWI where it's like a red plate or a yellow plate in certain states. Have you seen those?
No.
They order you to get a certain color. You've never seen this?
No.
There's a handful of states that if you get a driving under the influence ticket.
Isn't it like marking people?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's your third offense first, how it judges
you. What if
I'm
driving your car?
This is one of the failures. So they give you this bright red plate or bright yellow one. And other people know it, so they're like, okay, that guy got to better, stay away from him on the road?
Yeah, like, what is the, caution?
No, and cops can't just pull you over. Yeah,
that's what it is. That's it. So I saw you swerving, and because of the red license plate, I had
that's
caused.
Wrong. No, that's not that probable.
It's, yeah, no, that's a huge failure.
No, that is a big fail.
The worst and most biggest failure personalized plate I saw, I've shared this before, I think. I was in Southern Ohio, which is just across the river from Kentucky. And I saw a license plate that said four characters grouped together, two and two, Mr. KY. Now, I'm assuming he was a big fan of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe grew up in Kentucky. Yeah. Mr. Kentucky.
Yeah.
But
he was a slippery
guy. Maybe some people see you driving around. He's like, I don't know why all these men keep propositioning me.
He looked pretty slick, didn't he?
It's like, I
got a meeting in 15 minutes. What do you say?
That's right. All right. I don't usually do this $10. Chris Cruz has a new ringtone. Is that on your phone?
That is on my actual phone. Yeah. Is there a new ringtone?
Right. Ringtone. And is this for everybody? Is it certain people call?
This is the test run because.
Do you want me to call
it? Actually, yeah, that'd be much easier.
Yeah, then you're trying
you
to
know,
figure this thing out.
Ringtone.
So, okay. Here's the ringtone because it's.
Testicles right now. How much?
Earnings with it worth is.
Want one of your testicles right now. How much?
I want one of your testicles right now. How much from Brad? I believe that was yesterday's program.
That was yesterday's program. So
you need to trim off a little at the beginning.
Able to figure out how to do it. So now we're going to work on a series of catchphrases. Like, for example, the one that he just said. Because
we don't have to say what that is.
We had to go on break because of that phrase.
Yes.
So my laugh is already in there.
Yeah, a bunch of people I said they want Chris Cruz's laugh as a ringtone.
But like I said, once I saw that laugh, I'm going to have to
You're selling the laugh.
Yes, I'm selling the laugh.
You see where he's going there? A little scam he's working on.
Yeah, that laugh
selling
is
some
not
ringtones.
Free.
I mean, they're not going to be like $400, are they?
Well, my laugh, yes.
Okay.
Because once you buy it, I cannot do it no more.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You have to find a new one.
You have to change your laugh.
Yes.
That's right. It'll be like copyrighted.
Yeah, that is.
All right.
That's difficult to do.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, Chris Cruz will be like, ho, 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 ho. Very funny, lovey. Hello. Amusing, I say. That'll be his...
Patrick Lotha just tweeted, there's a hyena in the studio, or is that somebody laughing? Not just Chris. Dastardly dog, remember that?
That's it. I think that was his name, yeah. The Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, yeah, I'll find you.
So, next week you're going to launch this ringtone program?
Yep, once our app of the week guy figures the systems out, because I'm doing the audio, he's doing the technical.
Okay, we'll see how this goes, but I get final sign-off on what goes up.
Oh, no. Even Glenn is going to be in there.
Uh-oh, this is trouble.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
So I got a story here that some people may think is a failure, but I'll leave it up to you. Some may consider this a failure of TSA. I'll let you to decide. No, you decide. A TSA employee was arrested after he was caught on video stealing cash from a bag going through screening at Orlando International Airport.
Huh.
22-year-old Alexander Shea Johnson has been with TSA just a couple of months, they say. He's been charged with a third-degree felony and grand theft. A passenger was going through security when she was selected for a pat-down search. She saw Johnson standing near her bag. Afterwards, she stopped when she was putting her things back together, looked through her bag to make sure that her cash was still there, but it was not. She noticed a bulge in Johnson's shirt pocket that was not there prior to.
He was just happy to see her?
She questioned the money was missing. She said he was the only one by it or whatever. They checked Johnson's pocket. There was a wad of cash in there that turned out to be hers. He said, no, this was cash that he'd had. This was his cash or whatever. And they said, let's go to the videotape. And it showed him taking the cash from her stuff and stuffing it in his shirt.
Wow.
A dirt bag.
TSA said that Johnson was fired. It says, and this was their statement, TSA has a zero tolerance for misconduct in the worst workplace. They keep using that word.
Misconduct.
A term. Zero tolerance. That I don't think they know what it means. TSA spokeswoman then said the TSA immediately reported the allegation to the OPD, and we aggressively investigated the incident with our law enforcement partner.
Aggressively investigated.
Do you know how many times people have had things missing when they travel from TSA?
Oh, yeah.
And we've had stories of TSA agents that have not been fired. Cases where people have purposely said, let me screen that person because I am sexually attracted. I want to feel them up. All of these, and they are not fired. Managers at TSA have not been fired. So you have a zero tolerance policy? Yeah, I'm calling foul on that one. That's BS. And by the way... When I go through TSA with this stuff, I don't leave their little, because they want to get you out of the way so they can bring the next person in, like my little pat down. And I've had them go, sir, can you take your, no. No, I won't. I'm checking my, and this is what I tell them. And I'm like, checking my stuff. Well, you can check it over there. No, I'm checking it right here because I don't know if y'all stole from me. And they just look at me. I go, I'm checking my wallet to make sure you guys didn't steal. And they just, okay. What are they going to say?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so weird. That's never happened, Doc. Uh-huh. We would never do such a thing. Yeah, tell that to Johnson.
I love it. We immediately ended the federal career of this individual.
That's what they said?
Yes. The federal career.
You don't deserve to wear this badge. Yeah.
Why do they have badges anyway?
It's all image, man. It's golden. All it is.
I've told you before, they have a color guard. Yeah. The TSA has a color guard, just like the Air Force,
man,
the Army.
We do not have to bring race into this thing.
Right.
You're a guy carries the flag. The flags. Oh, they have their own flag.
Why?
Procession, gotcha.
And how soon will they have guns?
Oh, God.
I think it's only a matter of time. In fact, the only reason they probably haven't is the whole gun at airport thing.
You know what they've started doing, though? They put up signs now in the little queue lines. It says the TSA prevented this weapon from being on board a plane. It has a picture of a gun.
Yeah,
you
this,
know, on,
this
on
one.
September, whatever. But prevented.
There's
this.
50,000 like, others just like it that we didn't prevent,
but
by the way.
What's the story? Was that a law enforcement officer went, oh, crap, you're right. Sorry, here. I'm gonna.
By the way, when they have tested those and have their 94% failure rate at times detecting stuff,
yeah,
they've improved some of their detection rate, but they tip them off. They tell them that they're testing them basically that day. Well, first of all, you know the bosses are going to do this. Oh, crud. We have a 94% failure rate. Oh, I know they're going to be testing soon. I got that email. They're going to test in southeastern airports or Florida airports or whatever between these 3 days. So then you go to everybody and you're like, hey, guys, I think they may be testing this area. So be extra. So that's going to catch more right off. Right. And then we know that the times they've actually said, in so many words, that they are going to be looking for specific weapons that will be tested. It's like, hey, in the next 20 minutes, somebody's going to try to take in this weapon. Yeah. It's really that ridiculous.
They're really good at finding my deodorant. They're very good at that.
And they found that many times.
They get my deodorant every time and make me
You know,
throw
if
it out.
Only guns came in like 4 ounce liquids.
Right? Well, now they're going to have 3D software so they can get a 3D look at your bag. As it goes
How much
through.
More do they need to look? You can see right through the bag.
If only guns came in 4 ounce toothpaste tubes. If that's what maybe where guns were made out of, they'd be great at this thing.
Yeah.
If only guns came shaped like my boarding pass that's in my pocket that I forgot to put in the little tray, they'd be great at catching it. Be fantastic.
Cargo shorts get them every time too. Every time.
When your security system can be thwarted by cargo shorts.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
You can't buy a good $1 million machine. You just can't.
So another TSA issue, apparently. You've got the TSA issue story, Bradley?
Oh, the lobster. Actually, do I? Hang on a second.
This seems like a bit of a failure on your part.
Yeah. Well, I emailed it to you. So there was a fish market owner in Connecticut says she is personally offended after she saw the photo of the 20-pound live lobster being handled by the Transportation Security Administration screener.
So let me make sure I say this. So this was her lobster.
Uh-huh.
She's taken it through, and one of the TSA agents sees the lobster because it's gargantuan. It's like, holy crud, this is cool. Has somebody, presumably one of the other agents, take a picture with him holding up this giant lobster? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, what it was, and I saw this picture when it came out. The guy's, he's holding up this live lobster. Now, she's the woman who owns the Atlantic Seafood Market in Connecticut, and she was the one who packed the lobster for the customer.
Okay.
So she's pissed that she says basically the TSA, what are they doing, you know, digging through our stuff and taking pictures with our stuff? I mean, what's the difference in that and saying, hey, look at this negligee I found?
Right, exactly. Now, I understand it's a giant lobster. It's interesting. I understand why you'd want to take a picture with it. And I get that there's, you know, there is a difference between that and taking a picture with somebody's kid or their personal stuff or whatever. But she has a great point.
Yep.
If you're willing to do that with a lobster because you think it's interesting, why wouldn't you do it with everything else? Bottom line, it's not your crap, TSA. Yeah. And this guy needs to be fired.
Yeah. She said Absolutely. He also could have.
Where's the zero tolerance, TSA? Where is the zero tolerance?
She said the agent, the way the agent held the lobster was bad because it could have snapped off one of his claws, putting all the weight on his joints. Lobster abuse.
Let me go back to the quote from the other story. TSA, this is the quote from a TSA spokeswoman. Mm-hmm. TSA has a zero tolerance policy for misconduct in the workplace.
Unless it involves a lobster. You forgot the rest of the sentence.
Unless it includes a really cool effing lobster in a photo op.
Right.
Would that... that she didn't say violence in the workplace, theft in the workplace, criminal activity in the workplace. She said misconduct is taking a picture and posting it on social media of somebody's personal property that is being screened. Is that misconduct or not?
Absolutely.
Seems if like it's it not misconduct, it why isn't it TSA? And if it is misconduct, this guy needs to be fired today based on your own statement. Which is it, TSA?
Yeah, there's no consistency here. They pick and choose.
I get that the lobster, taking a picture with the lobster, is not,
it's not a
by itself
deal.
A gargantuan deal.
But no.
Until you look at the bigger picture of this.
They went through someone's bag, took items out, took photos with those items.
So let's do slippery slope. It starts with, it's a lobster. Somebody's lobster. It is pretty cool, whatever. Hey, take a picture with it. And they were just screening it, whatever. And then, okay, it's somebody else's something else. Until you get to somebody's very personal items. It could be anything. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's all—it's already troubling to a lot of us that your personal freedom, your right to privacy is being invaded. But the argument is, well, you don't have to fly and whatever, and we have security. Although your security really isn't security. It's the illusion of security. But I get your argument that you don't have to fly. Fine. We've subjected ourselves to this. Does this include, is this TSA policy that they can, hey, if we find something cool in your crap, we can take a picture with it and post it on social media?
Take a picture. Keep a friend of mine, you know, because he had a Zippo lighter from his dad. His dad passed away. It was very important to him. It was an old Zippo. He put it in his checked luggage, and he got to his destination. There's a tag on his bag. Your bag was searched for.
They do that, right?
Yeah, and items, blah, blah, blah. And they took his Zippo lighter. It was a very personal item. You're telling me that was good. That was a, okay, you went through the bag and you found a lighter. That was a threat? And now he never got it back.
Really? They didn't give him a chance to mail it to himself?
No.
Did he inquire about it?
No, it was checked bag. It was after he checked it. They went through
You can take that stuff through check. Yeah. You can take that.
Lighters and luggage.
He didn't want to risk it.
Risk what?
Losing the lighter. He didn't, because he wasn't sure.
No. I'm saying after it was missing, why did he call TSA and say what? Or
yeah, they gave him the runaround. Oh, we don't know. We don't have any records of anything. We don't have it, basically.
Wow.
Good luck trying to track it. Track down a lighter at which airport. And, you know, he went through two airports at the time.
Wow. That's.
And they can do that. That's like the law. Federally, you know, there's a threatening, an object that poses a threat to the plane.
That's sketchy right there. Carrie Lason tweeting, and I guess is in favor of the person taking the picture with the lobster, says keeping a 20-pound lobster to yourself is just shellfish.
Yeah. I see what you did there. Okay, shellfish.
Here's what you're going to get. Like one ring. That's it. Is there a half ring on here? How about this? I'll give you the muted ring. Let me hit a break in. Tell us what you learned with the hashtag What I Learned Today. Got to take a moment and tell you about Relief Factor, though. Relief Factor is something that, I got to be honest, I was a little skeptical of. I was a little skeptical because Brad Staggs was was doing the commercials for it. And I was like,
stop talking about it.
It's like, it's all over. You keep talking about the Relief Factor and whatever. And, you know, he has a sketchy past. Not as sketchy as Chris Cruz, but, you know, nevertheless, it's kind of sketchy. So Brad says to me, I go, Brad, my sciatic's bothering me. I've been running again. And it's he's like, you got to take the Relief Factor. I was like, okay, yeah, whatever, Brad. Crazy man. And then he comes to me and he goes, hey, here's a bag of the Relief Factor. And I was like, yeah. A couple days later, I'm still bitching. He goes, hey, here's another bag of Relief Factor. And I was like,
did you try that Relief Factor?
All right, I'm going to have to shut this guy up because he keeps asking me about it. So I take it. Then I take it a couple days and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's a couple days. And it was about day 4 or 5. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's. And I tried everything else. I used to be able to just stretch it. If I'd stretch real good, it would slowly kind of, and that is not the case anymore. Stretching doesn't work. I've tried other narcotic type stuff, painkillers, and it mutes it at best, takes the edge off. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know. Tried the Relief Factor 4 or 5 days on the stuff. Boom. I did nothing else, and it went away now. Yeah. That's the other reason I know it was the Relief Factor, because it was over. Boom. As soon as that 4 or 5 day, gone.
And it's natural.
All natural. It's not something that's dangerous for you. It's not a narcotic, anything, a bunch of chemicals, you know, that they, it's the something you can't pronounce, manufactured in a lab by some mad scientist. Yeah. None of this stuff. So then I'm on it for a while. I'm like feeling better. Got it out. It's not a chronic thing. It's only when I do certain things, I know. Mm-hmm. But then it's hard to get rid of once it kicks in, once it's aggravated. So I stop. I aggravated again a month or so later, and I'm like, okay, going to try again. Boom. 4 or 5 days later on it,
gone.
No problem with the sciatic again. And there's a lot of people that have chronic pain. It's not something that is going to come and go based on your activities. It may be worse. If you are that person or you know somebody like that, try the Relief Factor. You can get it today at relieffactor.com. Just go to relieffactor.com. Get that 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95, under $20 to get rid of that chronic pain for 3 weeks. That is certainly worth it. You can also call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. The Blaze Radio Network.
Got some new information. I know this is going to shock you guys. This is,
I don't know.
Apparently,
it takes a lot to shock
you.
Yeah,
me. Working here for a while. You know.
This is shocking. I'm just going to go ahead. Apparently, there are some questionable activities surrounding the Clinton Foundation.
What?
No.
I know.
Yeah, 30 years ago.
No. There's some newer ones.
Yeah. During the election, a lot of them came
the
out.
The email thing, right? Yeah. The emails.
No. Even up into
like last week,
you know, all of the failures aside from the book that was written about the Clintons and their dealings,
Clinton
with
cash, yeah,
the Clinton cash that had to deal with the mining money. Uranium in,
yeah,
it's just bizarre stories. And aside from all of their previous dealings and the travel slush fund that the Clinton Foundation had for them, so a lot of the money was just so they had free travel and all kinds of stuff. Now, there's some other interesting things that have popped up. Among the thousands and thousands of emails that were hacked from her campaign, Chairman John Podesta.
Podesta, yeah.
And they were published on WikiLeaks. There's one that somebody said, hey, notice this. This didn't get a lot of attention. By the way, if I had the time to go through all those, I would scrutinize every word of every email.
There's a lot of emails in there.
Right. Because there's a lot that you overlook until you go, wait a second, why was this? If there was only three emails, we would scrutinize every word and you'd be able to find some potential inaccuracies or questionable
hidden
things.
Words.
Hidden words. Why was it said this way? So if I had the time, I'd go through all of them. But one of them stated that officials from the government of Qatar gave the Clinton Foundation $1 million to celebrate Bill Clinton's 65th birthday.
So it was basically a birthday present?
That's what it
a
says.
$1 million birthday present.
Which automatically you go,
wait,
come
a minute.
On. That's the type of thing you do. Okay, Cal, I can't legally give you this money this way. So I'll, happy birthday. It's for your party.
To your foundation.
And through your, you see what I'm saying? So automatically right off you go, wait a minute. Right.
Red flag.
If it was 10 grand to do that, it's a red flag. But $1 million? Yeah. Now, funds which the donation did not report to this, these were not reported to the State Department. So, number one, wait, what? $1 million for his 65th birthday party?
Well, that's a big number, 65.
Wait, this is to pay for like the party, or it's a donation as a birthday present? We're donating to your
it
charity?
Said to celebrate. So, for the party, to whatever.
That's strange. Yeah.
Yes, sketchy. Number two, they did not report it to the State Department.
Which is another red flag.
Which would be a violation of the ethics agreement that Hillary signed when she became Secretary of State. She promised the foundation would notify the State Department's ethics official if a new foreign government wanted to donate or increase materially its contributions. So there's the third problem. Number one, sketchy about Bill's birthday donation. Two, Hillary signed a pledge, right? Mm-hmm. It's a violation of her ethics agreement.
Didn't notify.
And three, this is a foreign government that has now pumped, again, it wasn't just weird that it was somebody giving money to Bill. It's a foreign government, Qatar.
And I'm sure it wasn't the first time.
It was not. And then fourth, what do we know about Qatar?
Well, since they're quote-unquote funding radical terrorism.
Yes. Now, we have been partners with Qatar in different things. And we also know the handful of countries got together was Egypt and
Saudi Arabia, Yemen,
the Emirate,
Yemen, the UAE, parts of Libya.
All got together and say, whoa, Qatar, we're tired of you sponsoring terrorism or being involved in this stuff, because they are, that's where Al Jazeera is from, right?
Well, Al Jazeera is, they're Qatari-based, the news network. Yeah.
So that's the next problem, that it's not just any country. I mean, it's not as bad as saying, hey, North Korea.
Right.
But there's still an extra red flag versus, hey,
a questionable
Ireland country. Gave it to them, right? Okay. Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Or even not, another country like the U in the Middle East.
Even if it was Egypt, you'd go,
UAE, Saudi Arabia, these are all,
Not as Qatar is a little more troubling there. Yeah. Okay. But then when you put that next to the fact that the U.S. has a real problem in our relationship with Qatar. Right? I mean, because they have had, hey, we'll help you, but we know they're likely tied to some of this stuff or whatever.
Something's sketchy.
So it looks like...
And this happened after this... When did this happen?
This was his 65th birthday present. This was while she was Secretary of State.
Okay,
she became Secretary of State in 2009. When was she done? Like 2013, somewhere in there, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is during that time period.
It definitely looks like a payoff.
Definitely sketchy.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
On the phone is the midday host here at the Blaze Radio Network, Mike Opalka, but you may know him on Twitter as Stunt Brain, because he's a stunt brain. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I need a little stunt brainiac help. I need to enlist some of the bigger minds there. I have a conundrum.
Well, there's no bigger mind here than Jeffy, but we'll do our best.
I see what you did there.
I'm sorry, that's enlarged brain. Never mind, sorry.
That's not all gray matter in there.
No.
Convinced.
Lot of tequila.
Well, you know, I did hear somebody say that Jeffy was a smart ass, so maybe there is a brain in a certain part.
Could be very large, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I'm just saying. But there's a word. You guys just talked about the Clinton Foundation getting all that money from what's that country?
Qatar.
Is it Qatar, Qatar, gutter?
I go back and forth. I say Qatar, and then sometimes I try to clean it up and go a little more, and I go Qatar, but it's actually...
Qatar.
Well, why does Fox News say gutter?
Because it's some, rat hole place in the Middle East. Who cares, you know? Remember, Mike, there's...
Good point.
On our maps, there's America, and then there's not America. That's how we are.
Steve Doocy only reads off the cue cards.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And then Canada. Yeah, that's like America's somebody goes, hat,
I'm going on vacation. Where are you going? Not America.
Well, I'm going to travel, I have a rule. If I'm going to fly more than 6 hours, I want a different language, a different money, and I want to be hated for being American. If I go to Hawaii, that only accomplishes one of the three.
Well, wait a minute. You could just drive to Camden. Hey-o.
Pretty accurate.
Okay.
Pretty accurate, because there's no money. They just trade stuff on the street.
That's our steal.
Barter system.
So you were talking about this Clinton Foundation payment. Do you know there was a meeting requested with Bill Clinton right after that payment cleared? What a coincidence, huh?
I'm sure it is just a coincidence, right? It was not tied to that whatsoever. You get $1 million. Why would you want something in return?
Yeah, probably no quid pro quo, as they say in that arena. And your TSA situation with the guy reportedly stealing money?
Yeah.
The TSA did stop somebody headed to Qatar yesterday with a little bit more than the allowed amount of money. Well, let's just say they didn't report the $93,000 in cash that they had.
That's a lot of money to me.
It's a lot of money to everybody.
Yeah,
Who knows what's going on there?
Yeah, they're catching some things. They likely didn't catch a lot of other things, but I'll give them that.
Yeah, well, at least they got that one. Yeah, I think we pat them on the back when they do a good job. But are you nervous they're going to start looking at your books? on the
You know, I saw that
thing.
Story, and yeah, I don't like any of that stuff. So far, the reports I've seen about the books have been overblown a little bit, I think. But
well, it's a trial program. They've only got it in place in a few airports. But this is just another reason why I'm happy I'm a TSA clear, a TSA pre-check, and a member of CLEAR, which I don't know if you've looked into that program.
It costs money that goes to the government. Ain't doing it. Sorry.
Well, so you're not buying gas anymore?
No. This is additional monies that they have just amped up. So I'm not giving them one more penny than I have to, because unfortunately I have to buy gas.
Okay. All right.
That's like personalized plates. I'm not giving anything. But Mike, speaking of overblown, I called the Blaze.com out a little earlier today for something. And actually, there's two things I got to call them out for. First of all, the CNN crosses a line by using beloved childhood icon to further inflammatory immigration agenda. And they have this story about a Facebook Live that CNN did with Elmo. And by the way, we're not the only one who wrote it up this or had this approach to writing it up. Other people covered it as well, other news outlets. But it makes it sound like Elmo was going, "Hey, President Trump shouldn't build a wall because I'm for amnesty." It was nothing about illegals in America. It was about the refugees, which is a problem. But it's really about Elmo going over and trying to make the kids' life a little bit better. That seems like a red meat BS kind of story to me.
Yeah, I could see your argument there. You know, it's I get more upset with CNN for other things, like the
absolutely
the smiling Irish reporter. And I don't know if you were watching CNN yesterday afternoon, but Trump complimented a woman on her smile. She happened to be an attractive female reporter from Ireland, and suddenly it's the worst case of sexual harassment that ever happened in the Oval Office, and nobody remembers the Clinton administration.
Right, exactly.
You know, so
well, and
CNN spent at least a half an hour on it yesterday.
Mike, CNN is wall-to-wall, nonstop, anything against Trump. Most of it is anti-Trump with the Russia stuff, and you're right, then they pepper in a couple of these other things, like the sexual harassment in the Oval Office. So yeah, there's plenty of other things to attack CNN for. That would not be one of them. But there's
the Elmo one, yeah.
Yeah, the Elmo one. But then there was this other odd story, and again, I watched it, and I'll defer to you if you watched it. The Nancy Pelosi suffers puzzling episodes during New York City appearance. It didn't seem like she was all that off. I mean, okay, she's struggling to get some words. Nancy is not young. It happens. I was expecting some like major meltdown or something, like she had an aneurysm. It was not that.
Did you go through the whole video? Because the first minute, it's kind of light. But once you get into the middle of it, she's adrift. And I'm telling you, this is, Doc, if you don't go back 2 months ago, she had a similar incident. Now we are starting to see repeating incidents and the frequency of it. And frankly, I'm a little worried about the minority leader, because I was planning on using her all the way up through the midterm elections to demonize the Democrats. And if she's sick and not there, that's going to kill a lot of the plans I've made.
Mike, do you know the comedy we're going to lose if we're not allowed to make fun of Nancy Pelosi because she has some sort of debilitating illness, like she's officially has Alzheimer's or something?
I mean, that's never stopped.
Yeah, it's going to take that tool off the table for us. It's awful.
I just hope Michael Moore can step up his game. In her absence, I hope Michael Moore can do more. You know, we lost Barbara Mikulski, right? So she's not. We're going to need some other people to step up their games, give us some more fodder.
I'm hoping. I think Bernie's going to help us out. I have high hopes for Elizabeth Warren. It's going to be a good thing.
Let me ask you this. If you were in the future to use Elizabeth Warren because she steps up her game, you know, and you were to use her as, you know, more fodder, my question to you is how?
See what you did there.
Because of the Native American thing. And she's not really. Yeah, that's what I did there. So what do you have coming up on your big radio broadcast today?
Well, I have a brand new game that's out. It's called Fake News, Real News. It's actually the Washington edition of an entrepreneur has taken the fake news thing, and I'm going to explain that.
I'll take CNN for $1,000, Alex. Is every answer CNN? It's the 2017 version. No, I have not.
Have you seen the game? And with the holiday weekend coming up, I've tied in with a group that gives away tickets to all sorts of members of the armed forces. If you're a military family, a vet, or have someone serving, they have great things to give away to people for the summer. So we're going to help out and help the families get taken care of. So I'll be listing them all day long.
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool. And which holiday are you talking about?
Independence Day.
Okay, there we go. Winner, winner. You know why I bring that up?
Yes. No.
Because I think we've lost a little something when we start saying 4th of July. I mean, I slip into it sometimes as well, but I think the bigger, you know, make the point, it's Independence Day. It's not just a random, hey, it's July 4th or September 3rd or what. No, there's a reason we have it off, the 4th of July. It is Independence Day. It's America's independence.
Okay, and I also have I agree with you. I have a story, Doc, that you probably haven't heard, even though you're there in Texas, a really wonderful Good Samaritan story that a total stranger, it's called charity bombing, when you actually do something nice for a perfect stranger, and it's just heartwarming, so I'm going to share that one.
Charity bombing. I'm more of a charity sniper. But that's just
me. I see that. I understand.
That's coming up today, noon to 3 Eastern time on Michael Palka's program right here on the Blaze Radio Network. All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you.
Follow him on Twitter. It's at StuntBrain. Got to tell you about Brick House Nutrition's product, Dawn to Dusk. It works. That's the first thing you need to know. Number two, you need to know that it's an extended-release energy supplement. Number three, it lasts up to 10 hours. Four, it increases energy. Five, improves mood. And six, stimulates your brain. Did I leave anything out, Cal?
No. You know, yes.
I did. Chris is saying that somehow.
The jitters. You don't get the jitters.
Oh, no, I didn't.
No, he didn't.
So I did.
Did you get the script? Energy. You're not reading the script.
Extended energy, no
yeah,
caffeine.
Yeah, but you don't get the jitters when you take the
I didn't
the
say that part of it. Yeah. God, he's right. Did you listen did to me at all? What is going on?
I heard you say...
It doesn't give you the jitters. Okay. It you want to tell us about Dawn to Dusk?
I was going to say how I use it, but you guys just cut me off. But fine, go ahead.
It doesn't give you the jitters. Basically, what I like to do is I like to take it right in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I brought this time, actually, because I get a middle crash and I don't have
normally to... Normally in the day,
I get a middle crash and I will get it nice and slow. You could actually, it's pretty cool because you could actually be like, huh, so this is what 1 o'clock looks like. Never been here.
Normally, his 1 o'clock is like, this is what the carpeting on Doc's dressing room floor looks like.
And I'm like, oh, cool. And the best thing is, I highly suggest this for students, especially midterms when they restart up. Because I had to do a couple papers. And just don't take it out at 5 o'clock because you'll be up.
Unless you want to be up till 3 a.m., right? Because it's about 10 hours, right?
So, like I was saying, like college kids, I highly recommend it.
With every great tool, you need to use it responsibly.
Well, I thought
powerful tool.
I thought I was until I was like 3 in the morning. I was like, darn it.
I should have taken
time
that a
to shower
hours
because
earlier.
I have to
go better
to work
than those
now.
Caffeine drinks.
Yeah, because it doesn't jack you all up.
Those give you the jitters, the shakes, because they jack you up and make your heart race. This is not like
that. I said
that.
It's called Dawn to Dusk. Try it today. Go to Brickhouse Doc. Brickhouse is the name of the parent company. It's BrickhouseDoc.com. And use the promo code DOC in order for you to get 15% off. BrickhouseDoc.com.
The next generation of talk radio. The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Alrighty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned Cal is jaded and cynical. since 2012. We learned don't trust canoes made by inmates.
You don't. You just don't.
We learned jet engines are the fountains of 2017. And finally, we learned TSA has a zero tolerance policy.
Zero.
7% of the time.
Right.
Cal, spin of the dollar, Dials Radio Style, and Dallas Tech this morning. What if anything you learned?
I learned contrary to popular belief, throwing coins in a jet plane engine is not good luck.
Coins in a jet engine.
Surprise.
Thrown by.
Next time I buy a canoe, I do that often, by the way, I'll make sure it's not convict friendly.
Okay, good, good.
Convict friendly.
Or convict made.
Created?
If we all survive the plane crash, we'd be eating ass jerky. That's what I
That's
learned
what it,
finally.
Absolutely. All right, Kirk's spin of the dials, radio style, Dallas Tech morning. What have anything you learned today?
What I learned today, you try to serve me calf fries, a sheep's getting punched in the face.
That's how it is. That's how it works. That's how he rolls. At the Blaze, Brad, what have anything did you learn today?
Well, if we ever want to get Cal to eat Chris, we're going to have to disguise Chris as beef jerky.
Beef jerky. Yeah. Which shouldn't be difficult.
And if you're not careful, the TSA...
It's plantain beef jerky. Plantain flavor.
If you're not careful, the TSA will grab you by your lobster and slap it on social media.
And you can find that. Chris Cruz, what have anything to the listeners learn today?
Tubby Thompson learning Don't Dust helps you with the jitters, but it doesn't help old or forgetful.
No, that's all on me.
TMB voice says time off with hubby is nice, but getting up late and missing half of the TMB sucks.
Well, and that's the reason the podcasts are available.
With
TheBlaze.com/DOC. No, sleep in, but just listen later. Blaze.com, yeah. I mean, you know, once in a while.
And finally, Deadpool learning what I learned today. And so far, the Morning Blaze is talking about prison lingerie, cannibalism, and capitalism, and the best way to eat testicles.
That's how we roll here. By the way, that's what I do every morning.
Eat testicles?
Even when I'm on the air, I sleep late. Then I just listen to the podcast later.
Pretty much.
That's how I work.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's a system I have down. It's worked for me so far.
I can see.
Yeah. We got any others that you want to share?
Sure. 100 Level Mystical also tweeted out, says, calf is a bull. If you were sheep, wouldn't they be ba fries?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Get it, ba.
Thank you, Tom.
I see what you did there.
All right, one more.
One more. Kinsey Richard saying, Sunbrain doesn't mind airport travel because he's a member of Queer. Did I hear that right?
I don't know either. I don't know. I missed something on
did
that.
Did we miss something? I guess there's a podcast for that, right?
Okay, I guess so. All right. Hey, I didn't get those new numbers on procrastination, but the good news is we still have tomorrow because tomorrow's Friday. So we can get to it before the big holiday weekend. What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
Other than the Friday leftovers, we got National Geographic photographer Brian Scarry joins us to talk about his new book, Photographing Sharks in the Wild.
Seems like that would be lost on radio, but okay, we'll try it. What does Glenn have coming up on his show?
He's live in L.A. again, talking with the people. This is nothing but calls and emails.
What is Glenn wearing today?
Did I miss something here?
No. What is Glenn wearing today?
He's wearing moose fur.
Oh, wow.
Fresh.
I'm just talking about the moose fur. Look at him.
Remember the Morning Blaze of today, Chris Cruz production. Six Semper Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon. Wherever you are. Anyang, now you go home.
Did you book this guest?
Jerks.
Did you book this guest?
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.